So you leave Seattle with this great legacy that I didn't know about it until meeting you a year or so ago. I don't know that they recognize you for that, or that's even important for you to be recognized for that. And so that's an interesting thing. But you go and you travel some more between that time and between the time you land here in Portland.
Right. Well, I was also having some personal problems, going through a divorce and whatnot. And so I left and went down to California for a couple of years.
Where you grew up?
I grew up in Palo Alto. I went to Berkeley and got together with Gary there. We had known each other in Seattle. He had a bookstore and he did film at Bumper Shoot, and he had a Buñuel series at the Art Museum. And so we were friends, but he was working at Book People, and so we got together there and decided that, well, I always wanted to go to New York and, you know, publishing and writing and art and theater. I mean, you know, everything is like happening there. And so we went to New York and we were there for about 10 years and got active in the community. And I was starting to do more art. I did a few more performances. I did an artist kinetic percussion fashion show and parade that kicked off the Gypsy Procession. I called it the Gypsy Procession, but it kicked off the Soapbox Derby. You know, and Dick Higgins, who was...
Fluxus.
He was king. He was king of ties. It was a chance to display my... I have a whole necktie art art phase. And, you know, I made costumes, and there were people on stilts and music. So that was in the summer, and then I started doing Day of the Dead performances with a Tibetan slant, Bardo Passages, Soul Journey to Tibet. And that's another ongoing theme that I've had. I did versions at the Intiman at another Bumper Shoot in Seattle in the 80s. But I started doing art, and we opened a bookstore there. And then, as if that wasn't enough, the space next door became available. And all our musician friends came by and they said, oh, you've got to have a club. You've got to bring a lot of play. And
Who are some of these people?
Joe Giardullo and, let's see, who else was there? Harvey Kaiser, Harvey Sorgan. And then we had some top names. So anyway, we did open a jazz club. And Gary worked from the bookstore 9 till 5 and then walked next door, and then we were cranking it up until 1 or 2, and that got pretty tiresome after a while. But we had like Joe Lovano's wife, who was a singer. He was under contract, so he couldn't play, but we had Dewey Redman played for the Door. And again, it was like a mom and pop situation, so we didn't have a lot of money, and it didn't you know, to hire and people pay them. But people just wanted to, you know, to play and on tour. Laurel Massey. I'm going to read a poem, I think, later about that.
Read it now if you like.
Oh, okay. Kind of gives you a sense of that. Live from the Uptown. To jazz up decrepit abandoned department store, we dragged up wood panels from 2 floors down, built a bar where Woodstock kids once bought Cub Scout uniforms. Recycled blue velvet curtain draped the stage, rows of cast iron refurbished theater seats, exposed brick walls. The Uptown was totally hands-on, a do-it-yourself nightclub. Booker, bouncer, publicist, and sound guy. That was Gary. After working the bookstore next door, 10 to 5. I tended bar, hosted art crawls, readings, and wine tastings. Guinness, Sam Adams on tap, chilled Duval and Pilsner Urquell. Bowls of salt peanuts, wafting aroma of chocolate chip cookies, fueled intermission crowds. Once before a show, Dave Burrell, flat on his back under the Baldwin. Man, what happened? It's cool, I'm connecting, he said. Later, he banged those keys so hard, three clanked to the floor. That baby grand took loads of abuse. Kept tuner John busy on emergency post-concert runs. One player propped the lid open, plucked, hammered, tender strings with crude wood mallets. Hot tunas, Horvey Sorgan showed up sans drums after late-night gig. Threw black leather jacket over chair seat to jam on stage. Giardullo put us on the free jazz circuit. Standing room only for Dewey. Terry conjured the sweetest sugar cakes and then blew us away on the A-train. Other nights, Fathead, Joe Lovano, Don Byron drove upriver or down off the mountain to sit, listen in. During a blizzard, vocalist Laurel Massé's fans couldn't get out of their driveways. Six of us clapped so loud. If you tuned into her WBAI show that night, you'd swear she had a house full of diehards. Live from the uptown. How sweet that sounds.
So there's a Fathead in there. That could have been Fathead Newman. Was it David Fathead Newman?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Not a lot of Fatheads in the world. I mean, official Fatheads. There's a lot of Fatheads in the world, and they're usually in front of me in traffic, but that's another story.